I got on the internet today and I was looking for something to say tonight. I wanted to close this, the basic week of prayer before we get into the weekend on a really high note. And I was looking and I came across a blog. It was called Deconversion. I got to read you what this fella said, because tonight I want to tell you the story of two very different teenagers. The first one, we won't give him a name yet, but this was on the Center for Inquiry discussion forum, and it was entered on June 14th, 2007 at 12:05 a.m. This is what a bloodshot-eyed teenager does after midnight. I once converted to Christianity for a week. I had a Christian friend in math class who kept trying to get me to convert, and finally one night, I somehow gave in. I'm pretty certain that it was probably something I ate that was blocking the neurons in my brain that controlled my logic. I have no idea what happened, but I converted, and I was serious about it. I even got mad at my friend because she didn't believe I actually wanted to be a Christian. I went about wearing a crucifix for a whole week, and then I saw the first three episodes of the ninth season of Stargate SG-1. And I realized that religion was the root of all evil and no longer remained a Christian. Yeah, I was a Christian for a week, and then Stargate saved me. I still have no idea what happened to me in that week or why I did it, but I've sort of been thankful to Stargate since then for keeping me from going about being Christian. I figure I would have come to my senses sooner or later, but still, I don't know. Maybe my hormones were out of whack or something. It's not a week I like to think about, because that would have to be the single most illogical thing I have ever done. I really want to kick myself for doing it now. It's a good thing not all teens feel the same about Christianity as Captain Neuron, as I like to call it. Let me tell you the story of a very different teen. In April of 1999, one of the biggest, most shocking events in American history took place in a town called Littleton, Colorado. Two young men walked through the doors of their high school, Columbine High School, and they opened fire on their classmates. By the time it was over, they had killed 12 classmates, one teacher, and wounded 24 others. Eric Harris and Dylan Keybold kind of snapped, and they took it out on everybody else. As they made their way through the campus, along their path of blood and death, they made their way to the library. And when they got there, they found Cassie Bernal sitting at a table reading her Bible. Now, Cassie wasn't always a believer. In fact, when Cassie started high school, she was a 16-year-old sophomore at the time. The year before, Cassie was a practicing witch. But through the influence of some friends and some Christian teachers and others, Cassie became a believer. Dylan went up to her and he whipped out an automatic weapon and he pointed it right at her head. And he said, "Hey, do you believe in God?" And Cassie must have known what was coming. I mean, it wasn't a big surprise. Cassie knew what he meant to do, and yet she only hesitated for a split second, and then she turned her head around and she looked him right in those hate-filled eyes, and she said, "Yes, I believe in God." And Dylan laughed, said, "Why?" and shot her right through the head, killing her instantly. Wow. Why? What a question. I mean, any one of us could have asked that question. I mean, what are you supposed to think about worshiping a God who doesn't step in and prevent others from hurting us? Now, the fact is that believers are not immune to suffering and hurt and pain and trouble on this fallen planet. I mean, it's a fact of life. The question isn't, will I get hurt? It's really, when will I get hurt? And the real question isn't what happens when I get hurt. It's how do things turn out later? Romans 8:28, you guys probably know it by heart. All things work to the benefit of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. As some of you are probably saying, yeah, a lot of good it did Cassie Bernal. 16 years old and she ends up with a bullet in her head. But you know, amazing stuff happened after Cassie got hurt. Amazing stuff in her own home, at Columbine High School, at Littleton, Colorado, and around America. In fact, around the world, that little girl's death touched a lot of people. Two girls were in the library, and they watched Cassie die. And they came out of that library changed forever. They were committed that they would never again compromise their belief in Christ. Never. And they stuck to their word. One of them actually led her entire soccer team to Christ. She figured if Cassie could be loyal in death, the least I can do is be loyal while I'm alive. And a lot of those kids agreed. You know, she was the first teenage martyr America had seen in a long time. And so kids all across the country, seeing a martyr their own age, were inspired. Many of them came to Christ, and a lot of them recommitted themselves to Christ because of what happened to Cassie. And when they interviewed her parents on TV, I remember that interview, when they were talking to her mom and dad, they said, you know, of all of the things that have happened here, especially the loss of our daughter, the thing that means the most to us is how honored we are, how humbled we are by our daughter's commitment to Christ, her desire, her willingness to remain loyal to God, even to the point of death. You can tell where Cassie got her loyalty for God. She saw it first in her parents. In fact, as far as they were concerned, they said that out of that tragedy, in spite of their terrible pain, they believed that everything was going to turn out for the glory of God, to advance His kingdom and benefit mankind. In fact, I remember, I'll quote them, they both said, "This was not a defeat. This was a victory." When I heard those words, the first thing I thought of, and I still think about it today, is the disciples at Calvary. Can you imagine what was going through their minds as they looked up at their hero hanging on that cross, slowly dying before their eyes? Can you imagine what they said to themselves? How can this be? He has the power. He's God. He has the power. And how could this be happening to Him? And if this is happening to Him, what's going to happen to us? But they remembered. Sure, they must have had those thoughts. But you know what they remembered? They remembered Jesus saying, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down and I'll take it up again. I'm going to lay down my life for my friends. You are my friends. I lay down my life for you. In fact, let me read you what Jesus said. This is from John chapter 15. I command you to love one another in the same way that I love you. Hey, that's not easy. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. And then Jesus said the most amazing thing. Just in case they were worried about the sacrifices they were going to make, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I command you to love each other. You know, one choice, one decision affected your life forever. Not your choice of Jesus, but the fact that Jesus chose to love you first. I listen to evangelists all the time, and you know, I've done a lot of evangelism in my lifetime. Talking to people about making a decision for Jesus. Let me tell you something. That's already been decided. Jesus decided he loved you. When he was hanging on the cross, he loved you. When he let them drag him to the cross, he loved you. When Jesus set aside his power, he could have just blinked his eyes and Palestine would have disappeared. Jesus had already chosen to love you. It's not, the question is not, will you choose Jesus? The question is, will you recognize, will you appreciate the fact that Jesus has already chosen you? Because that's the decision that really counts. If he hadn't made that decision, it wouldn't matter what you think. It wouldn't amount to anything. I wonder, tonight, we've been talking about how cool the rule makers are and how cool the rules are because the rule makers love us and the rules they make are based on love. And here is Jesus issuing this command to love one another as I have loved you. That's what makes Jesus the coolest rule maker of all. He loves us. He proved it. He's still proving it. And because he loved us then, he still loves us now. And you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to recognize his love. I don't know where you're at. I haven't got the faintest idea. The Holy Spirit knows. I don't know. But I know I can ask you this. Are you willing to acknowledge the fact that Jesus chose you? Are you willing to admit that that's the decision that sets the course for your whole life? We're not talking about you sitting there saying, yep, I'm ready to follow Jesus. You wouldn't be doing that if Jesus hadn't moved first. We love him because he loved us first. Are you willing to acknowledge that? Don't get all, you know, full of yourself thinking, it's my decision. I choose. No. Jesus made sure we understood. He chose us. Now, are you going to acknowledge his choice? Are you going to stand up for Jesus and say, yep, you chose me. What else can I possibly do except choose you back? You loved me first. What else can I possibly do? All I can do is just love you back. You ordered me to love others the same way you loved me. What else can I possibly do except love the way you love? Why don't we all stand up for a minute? I want to pray for you. And I'm going to challenge you while I'm praying for you. If you understand and appreciate the fact that long ago, before the world was even created, Jesus chose you, made the decision to die for you, and chose to love you forever, I'm going to ask you to just kind of slip out and come on up forward. But not until I've bowed my head and started praying. I don't want to watch you come. I just want to open my eyes and I want to see you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, John 15:16 is very precious to me. That was the verse that I was converted on. That's where you became real for me. That's where you became my God, my friend. It was hard, Lord. It was hard because I was raised to worship intelligence, and I'd made a choice, I thought, that set my course for you. Instead, what did I find out? You had chosen me long, long before I had exercised this wonderful brain you gave me. You had a plan, and I was in it. Thank you for being the rule maker. Thank you for basing everything on love. Obedience is easy when you know the one that issues the orders would do the same thing for you and already has. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you so much for caring. Thank you so much for bringing me here. Thank you so much for choosing us all. Whether we respond or not, we need to understand that you have already chosen us. And we need to just chill and take it easy and rest on that fact. In your wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, looky here. Isn't that wonderful? You guys are awesome. All of you are awesome. Believe me. This is a great moment for all of you. I wish you would just all just take a minute before you go back to your seats. Just bow your heads and tell Jesus how much you appreciate the fact that he chose you. Because you really can't take much credit for choosing him back. What else can you possibly do except choose Jesus in return? So just take a moment and thank him and appreciate what God has done and is going to keep doing for you right through all eternity. When I see you guys starting to get up, I'll have another prayer. And I don't want to spoil the moment. I'm going to shut up. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for teens like Cassie Bernal who turn away from the other way and start following the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord Jesus. What an example. A child humbled every American, regardless of our age. She knew you'd chosen her. She was not afraid to die. She knew that you would keep your word. The rule maker always does. I'm sorry, Lord, that other teen thinks of Christianity as an empty system of rituals and actions and things. Just an empty, empty, shallow, bankrupt system. Enough that he would actually think that Stargate makes more sense than the Bible. But Cassie had it right. Christianity is a relationship, a friendship. And her dying wasn't just a brave act. It was loyalty to a friend. Lord, as we leave here tonight, help us to remember you're our friend, and friends stick together. Friends are loyal. We're not obedient because we're trying to score points. We're obedient because we care and because we would never double cross a friend. Lord, thank you for calling us friends. Now it's up to us. It's up to us to honor that friendship. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.